And now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Now here are the boys.
Thank you very much, Wally.
Well, I don't saw the Bolton boy, but wasn't anything else for me today, so I figured I'd introduce you.
No, we haven't anything special for you today. Maybe tomorrow. I think you're due up for a weekend trip. I think you're heading, up to New England for some.
Hey, that should be good. One of those fairs up there.
I think that's what it is, one of those fairs, county fairs. In any event, this is the Bob and Ray Show, like Wally said. No, he didn't even say that. We said it. And
I just said here are the boys.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll be here for the next 13 minutes or so.
And with us here right now is one of your old friends, we like to think, and we know, one of ours, Barry Campbell, star of stage, screen, well, movies, television, radio, for the orchestra world. Barry, I wonder if you'd sit in here with us a little bit, and we kind of cut up a few, whatever it is we cut up.
All right, Bob. First of all, it's great to be back here with you, and... you know, I always consider this my second call. Whenever I'm in New York, it's a must for me to come up and to say hello to both you fellows.
Where were you born, Barry, actually? I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
I don't think you ever have either. I was born in Terre Haute.
An Indiana boy, huh?
That's right.
It's especially good that you came up here today because I know you had a rather trying evening yesterday, last night, with the opening of... the new show, The Big Conga. Some of you may have already read the reviews of it. Suffice to say, it just worked good. And we thought maybe we'd get the story to you.
Very kind, Bob.
Well, I was.
It's
exaggerating when I said they weren't good.
The biggest turkey that I've ever been associated with.
That's that kind of adds to your string. You've had a string of bad luck.
Bob, I've been in, let's see, it's been, I think, 12 flops in a row, and it's beginning to undermine my faith in myself. And you know, when a person starts to lose his faith in himself, he's losing a very important part of keeping his mind in one shape.
Well, let's not go into that dribble now.
You know,
the thing we want to find out about...
dribble. I'm afraid I'm going bananas as a result of all these flops. And
yeah, well...
You know, I've read these reviews...
Can we concentrate on the one last night?
I read them over and over and over, and I talk to myself about it, and then finally I'm convinced that I should go back to the theater, and then it's the same old trauma.
Well, Ray and I have attempted to suggest at various times that maybe you... should look into some other line of work. But anyway, The Big Conga last night opened here on Broadway. It was a musical, I understand. I'm sorry.
Well, it was supposed to be a musical, Bob, and it was, but I don't know. You see, the same old problem. I didn't like the lead opposite me.
You didn't like the leading lady, Barry Campbell?
Oh, no. She's awfully difficult to work with. And she invented the ego, I think. And all during our...
Well, you've been teamed up with her before in the summer stock, I know.
Three times. And it's always been disastrous. I don't know what to say.
Well, now, you have a tape, I understand, a recording of big number there last night.
You can use it. I didn't bring it over.
It was sent over by the leading lady.
Well,
I don't know if she's trying to make you look foolish. Or...
Well, of course she is. She's trying to show me up as being, a no talent. What is it anyway? Do you have any idea?
Well, it's the scene where you were to do the big
conga.
Number, Let's Conga Up a Storm, everybody.
Yeah.
I think is the title.
Well, we're down in our, what we call our playroom. Roughest room, and there's a party, all our friends, and
this was going to be your first singing role, I understand.
That's right, and the cue was I go over to my leading lady, you should excuse the expression, and say, dear, let's conger up a storm, everybody, which meant everybody in the roughest room should get up and conger along.
Mm-hmm. That's where the tape begins, I think, and then you were to sing, right?
Yeah. Well, what happened? I just couldn't get going on. Well, go ahead, play the
tape. Let's play the tape, Joe Alonzo, and here is a preview of, or an afterthought of a Broadway show.
Dear, let's conjure up a storm. Everybody. We walk by the seaside.
Campbell, it's not the ballad, it's the conga number.
The what?
The conga number.
Oh, boy, how's it go?
Let's conga up a storm, everybody.
Let. Two, three, four. Let's conga.
Come on, Campbell, let's get with it. Don't just stand there.
If you'd be quiet, maybe I could sing it. Let's conger up. Better roll down the curtain now.
Curtain down, Joe.
All right, you can cut it, Joe. Thank you. I think that's all. It was mayhem at that point. I can tell by the recording there. Why didn't you remember the song, Barry
Well,
Campbell?
I was nervous, and as I said, there was that friction going on all the time that unnerved me. Incidentally, the management wanted me to be sure and tell people who had tickets for the night and ensuing performances that there'll be a refund.
They can get their money back and...
Well, not entirely. About 70 cents on the dollar.
Well, the curtain has fallen on the big conga, and our best wishes to you, Barry Campbell, and your next theatrical venture.
I'm going to need it, I know.
And thanks for dropping by.
It's always a pleasure.
Good evening, this is your host, Doug Farrell, welcoming you to Campaign Microphone. And with the smell of election already in the air, we here at these microphones are going to stay on top of the situation right up to Election Day in 1960. So to start things off, here is Governor Arthur Bergerquist.
Well, hi, Doug, and I'm certainly happy to be here on Campaign Microphone. And I'm glad to be in your great sovereign state.
Yes, I've been to your state.
I'm sorry you didn't come up to the Capitol building to see me, Dud.
Governor, your record shows that you spent a total of 6 days at your office in the Capitol building last year.
Well, if you ever get out there again, I'd like to have you visit my personal home. I'd consider it an honor, Mr. Farrell.
Well, thank you, Governor Bergerquist. And now the big question, are you in the running as a candidate for the 1960 presidential election?
Well, that's really a curve you've just thrown me.
Are you in the running, Governor?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no.
Can't you say it this time, Governor?
Well, let me put it this way, Mr. Farrell. Nobody else is saying whether he's going to run or not, so why should I? I may not make up my mind until the election is over.
Is that a party-dictated move, Governor Bergerquist?
Well, certain factions in the party suggested that might be the best time for me to throw my hat into the ring right after the election.
Well, psychologically, Governor, it sounds like a very astute move.
I think so, too. So along about October of 1960, you'll find most people are going to be fed up with various candidates and their speeches.
And yours will be a refreshing new face on the morning of November 6th. Is that right, Governor?
Well, I'd rather not discuss party politics publicly.
I see. Governor, can you tell me who else in your party is in the running?
Well, I wish you wouldn't edit what I say, Mr. Farrell, when you ask who else in the party is in the running. The implication is that I'm interested in running, too. Now, I never said that.
Sorry, Governor. I guess that lapel button you're wearing is throwing me off a little bit.
Well, it's a dandy, isn't it, Dud? You'll never be hissed if you vote for Arthur Bergerquist.
Well, wouldn't that tend to indicate you're interested in being a candidate in the 60 elections, Governor?
You mean this button?
Yeah.
Well, don't let it fool you, Dud. I collect buttons as a hobby. I've got 3 million more of this type up at the state capitol.
Then you are not interested.
Well, let me put it this way. Even though my record as a governor is superb, my personal life spotless, and even though I'm a tireless campaigner and cut a fine figure of a man, I don't think at this time I'm at all interested in running for president.
Thank you for your candid thoughts about yourself and the 1960 elections, Governor Arthur Berkowitz.
Here's a sticker for your card, Dodd. It says, the others will never be missed, just as long as you vote for Berkowitz. It's a beauty, isn't it, Dodd?
Thank you for being with us on Campaign Microphone, and good luck with all that election planning that must be going on at your personal home. Now, important news about fast relief for cold miseries.
Well, Bob, that kind of news is always important, especially when it comes from four-way cold tablets.
Meet lovely Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Hello. All this in motion pictures simply dread colds. Imagine trying to give a top performance with head and body aching and that awful feverish feeling. I have to fight cold miseries fast.
How do you do that, Miss Freeman?
At the first sign of a cold, I take marvelous four-way cold tablets. Four-way's the fast way to relieve cold distress, even of nasty virus colds.
You're right. Clinical tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. In minutes, four-way's exclusive formula speeds wonderful pain reliever into your bloodstream and all through your body. In the same time, the other leading brands showed no trace of pain-relieving medicines. None of the other leading cold tablets, only four-way, started so fast to relieve all these cold miseries.
Relieves muscular pains, headache.
Reduces fever.
Calms upset stomach.
Also overcomes irregularity. Get four-way cold tablets today, the fast way to relieve those nasty cold miseries so you begin to feel better right away. Four-way, only 29 cents.
Early today, the Bob and Ray Trophy train pulled into Memphis, Tennessee, where Arthur Schrank, our announcer, has been the guest of host Hoyt Wooten of WREC down there. And so here is Arthur to describe the proceedings as folks look at Bob and Ray stuff.
This is Wallace speaking from the Bob and Ray Trophy train at WREC in Memphis, Tennessee. Here is Hoyt Wooten, who runs WREC. And down here with him.
Thank you all very much. And I would like to say that people probably were expecting to hear from Arthur Frank. But unfortunately, as I understand it, a small assistant, he was taken ill. Is that right?
Well, not that, but he had such a terrible haircut that he didn't want to appear in public until it grew out. So I'll be here for the next 3 or 4 days.
All right, let me move the microphone up here.
Fine.
To my height.
You like the train, buddy?
I like it personally, yes, and I think the folks here in Memphis seem to have gotten rather a kick out of it. I thought maybe one or two of them would like to express their opinions of it. This gentleman right here, I was speaking to a moment ago.
Yes?
Sir, you said that you liked particularly the Army portion.
Sir, the land's sakes, take off the sunglasses.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
I have been looking forward to this visit of the trophy train to Memphis for a long time. What's all that money business?
Now, that is the collection plate near the door there. Well, people are invited to drop whatever they feel they can afford.
Well, I saw that little small assistant keep taking 3 or 4 quarters every once in a while and putting them in his small pockets.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Quiet, lady.
At any rate, the people here are happy. We at WREC are happy.
I genuinely do. I don't think that it has lived up to its adventure.
Thank you for dropping by here with the trophy train.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Thanks to the RSC.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye. I wish you all a last goodbye. Goodbye.
Well, it's just not time enough for that.
Oh, too bad. I love that last note.
We'll have a word from Roy Rogers in just 10 seconds.
And now a word from Roy Rogers. And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Daytime, nighttime, all the time, the star's address is the CBS Radio Network.